Hello dear viewers, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. So I'm commenting on this extraordinary Ukrainian incursion into Russia. Now, since the first few months of the war, Ukraine has occasionally crossed over into Russia, sometimes for a matter of just a few hours, but not on a large scale. Sometimes it was the Freedom of Russian Legion, as in anti-Putin Russians who want to liberate their country, bring down Putin's Nazi regime, reintroduce democracy and human rights into Russia. And they realize they can only do that if Russia loses this this war against Ukraine. But now these are Ukrainian troops themselves, with possibly some Russian exiles as well. And is on a larger scale. It's lasted for 4 days already. And there isn't a sign it's going to end imminently. Various questions to ask is, why is Ukraine doing this? How serious is it? How is Russia going to respond? Or why are they doing it? Partly because defending in Lugansk and Donetsk was not very successful. It wasn't a disaster, but they were gradually being pushed back. It was attritional warfare. It, obviously, Russia's got a much bigger population than Ukraine, almost four times bigger. And yes, the Ukrainians were inflicting more casualties on the Russians. Was it 2-for-1, 3-for-1? Was it even 4-for-1, something like that? But unless it's beyond 4-for-1, eventually the Ukrainians are going to run out of people sooner. Remember, Russia had way more success in recruiting foreigners, you know, Indians, Nepalese, all sorts of nationalities, Cubans. And yeah, there is a Freedom of Russia, sorry, Freedom International Legion for the Territorial Defense of Ukraine. That might be as few as a few hundred soldiers. Whereas Russia's got tens of thousands, and often they're migrant workers from Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, and so on, who are joining because they're told this is a way they can get Russian citizenship and so on. So, yeah, people are being killed, Russian soldiers, but they're not all Russian citizens. And even when they're often not ethnically Russian, and because of the racism in the system, they don't care about the ethnic minorities so much. So, and also the Ukrainians, they were preparing for the probability of Donald Trump being re-elected. And I still think he will be re-elected, obviously I'm less sure than before. And Trump would almost certainly at least reduce military aid to Ukraine, maybe cut it off altogether, even if Trump is minded to continue the aid. The Republicans are very likely to control either the Senate or the House of Representatives. Even if it's the Democrats get everything, the Democrats might be less generous than before. So there may well have to be negotiations with Russia next year. Zelensky softened its stance on this considerably the last few weeks. So they want to be in a stronger possible position from which to negotiate, to make concessions, possibly holding Russian territory. And they can trade that Russian soil for Ukrainian soil, something like that. The other one is, you know, you're doing what the enemy didn't expect, get into these soft areas behind. Russia is so enormous, you can't be strong everywhere. Cut off their supply lines. I've been saying this at the beginning of the war. I don't know why they're not blowing up tunnels and bridges, because logistics is Russia's Achilles heel, so they can't get the trains and trucks through with munitions and everything else. Now, I think there has been some of that by, you know, special forces or whatever, secret agents, because there have been quite a few trains that have been derailed, things that got bang in the night, fires started. All right, some of this would be accidental, but it's happening more than one would expect over the last few months, and Ukraine's usually not claiming these sort of things, or an explosion in a Russian naval dockyard in the Black Sea. So the point is, Russia might be so worried about this invasion into this border region that they withdraw some forces from the front line, because the rest of Russia is actually rather denuded of forces. We know that manpower is an increasing problem for them, which is why they've increased the bounty for joining up. And Moscow region is offering $60,000 a year for soldiers to serve. Now, that is a staggering sum of money. In Russia, it wouldn't be a bad salary in a Western country for an ordinary soldier either. So because, you know, the average Russian would earn maybe $6,000 a year, and in Moscow higher, like at least double that. But nevertheless, that would be sort of four times what an average Muscovite would earn in a year. One thing else, you can't trust a word the Russian government says or any of the regional authorities. They will lie. They will not pay you 60 grand. They might pay you 40 or 50, you know, if you're lucky. And that might be in arrears. But anyway, it would still be a net gain for most people. It shows us laws of supply and demand. They're only increasing it because they're having trouble recruiting people. The prison recruits are largely gone. Those who are at all usable have been used in the so-called meat attacks. Their lives frittered away as decoys. You know, Central Asian laborers are less inclined to join. Those who are minded to enlist have already done so. They had 10 million migrant workers before COVID, 10 million. They've only got 6 million now. So Russia's declared a federal level of emergency. They first of all began to downplay this, but on the 9th of August, they said that because in Kursk region, it's got it gone in. The Ukrainians hit a Russian airbase there. So they're sending more reinforcements to the area, particularly tanks, so they can't downplay this. And so it proves how foolish Putin is, morality, legality aside, to make Russia so-called safer. Idiotic. It hasn't made it far less safe. Nobody's invaded Russia since 1941. So the first time in over 80 years, somebody's done it. And that's only because he attacked Ukraine. If he hadn't attacked Ukraine, they would never, ever have done this. So Russia says that over 1,000 troops have been sent by Ukraine. Now, I'm not sure, obviously, I don't believe a word that the Russian government says. Are they exaggerating? Because it explains, it's less embarrassing that Ukraine has made such progress, at least 10 kilometers inside Russia. Or are they underplaying it because they don't want to spook the public? I'm not quite sure. That there are at least 10 tanks, quite a few armored vehicles and so on. By the 6th of August, the Ukrainians had already seized control of over 600 square kilometers. Now, in a country something like, how many is it? 17 million square kilometers. That's not terribly significant. And about a dozen villages or hamlets. So pro-war bloggers have said this. So Zelensky wants to bring home to the Russians what it's like. So the Ukrainians, they may have destroyed Su-34s, Su-35s, and MiG-31s. In a Russian airbase on the ground. Quite how many, we're not sure, in Lipetsk area. So that is bordering the Kursk region. So it is a reasonably serious, but I don't think the Ukrainians are going to go that far into Russia, 20 kilometers, 30 absolute most, because you've got to think about resupply. They're going to run low on ammunition. Are they going to hold it? I think not, but I could be mistaken. As I say, the idea being to exchange it in peace negotiations in the spring, or to go around and flank the Russians. I'm surprised they didn't do that earlier. But the Russians at some point might be obliged to withdraw some troops from the front line because they were inching forward. It's going forward at a snail's pace, and it wasn't really worth it for the number of casualties the Russians were sustaining. Now, Ukraine regularly claims to have inflicted over 1,000 casualties a day on the Russians. But again, I take that with a fistful of salt. Casualties just doesn't mean killed. Some of them would be killed, that number would be killed. Maybe a quarter of, if it really was 1,000 casualties, maybe a quarter be killed. The rest were wounded. Very few taken prisoner these days. But, you know, if they say 1,000 casualties are inflicted, I'm thinking it's more like half that. So Russia clearly is worried about this, and TASS has talked about that. But is it a waste of resources from the Ukrainians? Possibly, considering they're stretched rather thin. But it might actually work for them in that Russia withdraws some troops in the front line. So the Ukrainians can use their armor and their mobility rather than be stuck in positional warfare, just in the trenches and things like that. And so when mobility matters, the Ukrainians have got greater maneuverability, greater adaptability. The Russians are very, how to put it, not disciplinarian, run by martinets, just too closed-minded, too rigid, too inflexible. And also amount of munitions doesn't matter as much when it, or some of it's by maneuver, where if they're just sitting in a trench, the amount of munitions matters an awful lot. So we shall see. But could it be unwise to Ukraine? Is this when Russia's actually going to pull out the weapons of mass destruction? I don't think so. We have heard some nuclear drills that they really wanted us to know about. Obviously, military exercise is usually top secret in Russia, but this is where they broadcast this because, again, it's intimidatory. It's intended to scare Ukraine's allies. Goodness. Anyway, I mean, I think the Ukrainians will probably withdraw in a few days when resistance stiffens up and Russia's troops in there, but then that might actually take the pressure off sufficiently. The Ukrainians in Donetsk and Luhansk, they might even be able to have a bit of a counterattack there, because the Ukrainian attempt to counterattack across the river Dnieper near Kherson, that's been going for months, that's stuck in the mud, and they're hemmed in, and they might actually have to withdraw from there. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure that you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. George Callahan 79 @gmail.com. Toodaloo.